Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday. I'm here in my home studio, Charles W. Chuck Bryant of Stuff You Should Know, fame, Movie Crush, mini fame.
That's a new one. That's a new intro.
It is. And I'm here with Noel Brown of, geez, how many shows are you doing now?
Oh, you know, just a couple. Stuff You Should stuff they don't want you to know, Ridiculous History.
Yeah, those
mini
are the
crush.
Stalwarts.
Yeah, stalwarts.
And you're kind enough to help me out in here and all, which is great.
What are you kind is not the word for it. This is, I told you, this makes my day, and I love getting an early start on a Wednesday. We're back to our normal stomping grounds.
Yeah, not none of this Friday afternoon bullshit.
Well, that was fun, too, in its own
it
way.
It kind of was.
Yeah, so this is our number two for the day, number one for you this week, listeners.
Number one in your hearts.
Number one in your hearts with a bullet.
All right, Noel, we're just going to jump right into it, which is what we do on our second episode, because we've already caught up. And we're going to start out with a post that I threw in there this morning. Sorry I didn't give everyone a lot of time on this, but I was busy last night. The 100% Club, Noel, I've mentioned that before. Directors who I feel like have never made a stinker. Maybe not all the movies are masterpieces, but none of them can be considered like missteps or like bad movies. Mm-hmm. Like even the great Steven Spielberg made Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
So right. He's not on the list. Crystal Skull sucked.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a good point. I mean, I definitely didn't, I think, so you're judging Crystal Skull against all other Indiana Jones movies, which I guess is the only way you can judge it, right?
No, I'm judging it as a movie. It just wasn't really? Very good.
Okay.
And especially if you look at it as in the canon of the Indiana Jones films, it's just a dark spot.
What was it about it that you didn't think was good? Just the plot wasn't good. There was bad acting, casting choices. The CGI was abysmal.
Yeah, like
things like that.
Had so many problems. It was really, really disappointing. So as much as I love me some Steven Spielberg, he can't make the list. The Coen brothers, I give they're on my list because their worst movie, The Lady Killers, is still, I don't think, a stinker. It's not great, but it's good enough. And the rest of their movies are, I think, literally every one of them, great.
I think The Lady Killers is quite funny. It makes me laugh.
It does.
It's not a great movie, for sure.
But it's funny enough. I mean, Tom Hanks alone and with that voice is, you know, I'll watch that movie just to laugh at that.
Yeah, exactly.
Who else? I've always put Sofia Coppola on the list. I think that all of her movies have been, none of them have been stinkers. I think the one that, her least good movie was it The Beloved? Was that the name of the one from a few years ago?
I don't know. A lot of people are really hating on this new one where it just feels like a why bother kind of, but I haven't seen it. You said you thought it was okay.
I liked it.
Okay.
What was the name of it? It wasn't The Beloved.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see.
It's The Beguiled.
The Beguiled.
It was all right. It wasn't great. But the rest of her movies are great. I think Catherine Bigelow, even delving into her 80s work, like, I haven't seen her first movie, so I'm not sure, but like she did Blue Steel in the 80s. Like, that was a pretty fun movie. And certainly she got better and better as a filmmaker, so I think Catherine Bigelow is probably on that list. David O. Russell is on my list. Kubrick is probably on my list. He's never made a stinker. So I asked the Crushers what they thought. Who were their 100% clubbers? And we're just going to go ahead and get going here with Tom Rhodes. He says Chris Nolan and David Fincher. He says, I don't hate Alien 3. And there was supposedly a ton of studio interference. I think we talked about Fincher and whether or not he was 100%er, and I knocked him for Alien 3.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that. And at the time, I don't think I was aware of David Fincher. I wasn't judging it in that way. But I'll have to watch it. I might treat myself to an Alien marathon.
What was his first movie?
It wasn't Alien 3?
Was it?
I don't know. Let's see. I mean, he did a lot of music videos. He did like Madonna, Like a Prayer. Not like a Prayer. He did, I believe, Vogue. His first movie.
It might have been.
Yeah, I think so. It was.
Yeah, Alien 3. Son of a bitch.
Yep. That was his first.
Seven, great. Feature. The Game, great. Fight Club, great.
Totally.
Panic Room, good. Zodiac, masterpiece.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you know, Benjamin Button, I didn't really like that.
I didn't like it either, but it's still a good movie, and it's a wide... It's what you would call a big swing, right, Chuck, you know?
Yeah, oh boy, I don't
obviously know. Obviously, it was a passion project for him. I don't like it either, but again, I've heard critics that still, you know, it's polarizing. Some people really love it. I did not that one, love though. It. Yeah.
Social Network, great. Dragon Tattoo, thought a really good remake. Gone Girl, awesome. Mank, still haven't finished, but... intrigued me enough, mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. definitely not a stinker. All right. I agree. Fincher should probably be on there. Christopher Nolan, I have some issues with him. He's not made stinkers, though.
No. I mean, I think we have to qualify, like, again, like, I think the discussion we had around Crystal Skull has to hold true. Do you judge it based on all of his other movies, as in they're not as good, or it has to just be an absolute kind of bomb? It has to really suck and just not be a good movie.
I mean, I don't even go so far. Here's my criteria. It doesn't have to really suck. I think just not a good movie for that director. You know what I mean? Like, the bar is high. So I don't think it has to be garbage. But to me, it's just, if it's not a very good movie that I don't want to see again, then that qualifies. And this is just my own dumb criteria. Caroline Gaston, one of our oldest pals, says, is it too soon to say Ari Aster? With just two films, but she also says most of his short films are on YouTube, and they're all pretty great. So, you know, he's 100%, and I imagine he'll keep making pretty good movies. I don't see Ari Aster making a stinker anytime soon.
Totally. No, he's fantastic. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, obviously, your first film, you have, like, your whole life to think of, and then sure. your second one, you know, if you do well with the first one, the studios are obviously going to be, you know, on you to put another one out. And I think he did a fine job. I think both of us had a few issues with Midsommar. It's damn good.
I like
coming out so quickly.
Time. Yeah. Linnea Barnett, one of our oldest pals, says Wes Anderson is the only director that can fill that slot for me. I adore his work and love the world that he creates. Yeah, I love them all. Sarah Irons also says Wes Anderson. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but I love his films. Aiden Noah Clark has a nice list going here. Todd Haynes, sure. Basil Dearden, don't know who Basil Dearden is. Basil Dearden.
No, he sounds very British.
He does, doesn't he?
Gonna lie.
Pedro Almodovar is close, but I'm so excited isn't great, is what Aiden says. Bong Joon-ho.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Fabulous.
Yorgos Lanthimos. Yeah, for yep. sure. Still early, but yes. Sebastian Lelio. Don't know that filmmaker. And Corey Finley is 2 for 2 so far. I don't know these people.
Yeah. What is
Deep
it?
Cuts.
Basil Dearden is old. He was born in 1911. He looks like he did some noir stuff. Film called The Dead of Night from 1945, Sapphire, The Blue Lamp, Victim. These all look like cool Hitchcocky thriller noir situations from the 50s and early 60s. So gonna add some of these to my list.
And Corey Finley says 2 for 2, did Bad Education and Thoroughbreds. I don't think I've seen either one of those. Those are both supposed to be pretty good though.
I've seen Bad Education. You're talking about good? Almodovar?
No. This is Corey Finley.
Oh.
Bad Education, based on the true story of the largest public school embezzlement in American history.
There's another, there's a Bad Education by Almodovar,
right?
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. I'll have to check these out. Deep Cuts. I like Deep Cuts, Noel.
Me too.
Let me see here. Ian Lyon says, that's tough. Love me some Spielberg and Ridley Scott, but among their mega classics, they've certainly made some stinkers. So I'm leaning toward filmmakers who have had fewer efforts, which is probably unfair. Jonathan Glazer, Sexy Beast, Under the Skin, and Birth. Yeah, for sure. And Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead, Scott Pilgrim, Hot Fuzz, and Baby Driver. Yeah, Edgar Wright is totally 100%.
Totally.
Good call. Good call, Ian. Ian. Don Morris. I think I fully agree with this. Says Sam Mendez. Solid He's offerings.
Solid. Solid.
And one of my favorite Little Known movies, Away We Go. That was such a great movie.
I haven't seen that or heard of it. He's so versatile, though, because like he can do, obviously, you know, amazing indie kind of character-driven drama like an American Beauty, but then he could turn around and do Skyfall or yeah. like a 1917 or whatever, you know? Revolutionary Road, he can do the period pieces. Like, he is just a really versatile director. No question about it.
Away We Go, Jarhead, these are all really great. Road to Perdition, Spectre as well. Yeah, American Beauty, of course. Sam Mendes, he's on my list. Sold.
Yes, he actually hasn't directed a hell of a lot of movies. He's only got 12 movies to his credit.
I mean, that's a lot.
I guess that is a lot. What am I talking about? That's a lot. He's been at it for a while. But yeah, he doesn't like make one like every 2 years. Like he'll sit on things for a little while. It's good. Yeah, King Lear. I'm not familiar with a King Lear adaptation.
Did he produce that or direct it?
He directed it.
Really?
Yeah. Co-directed it with somebody named Robin Lowe.
Oh, interesting. All right. Did not know that. All right. We're going to go with Kathy Lowe McRae. Says, granted, she's only made a handful of films, but everything Tamara Jenkins does is fantastic. Totally agree. One of my favorite directors, Tamara Jenkins, did Slums of Beverly Hills, The Savages, that great, great movie with Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman as siblings. And then I have not seen Private Life from a couple of years ago, and that is on the list. I did not know about this movie, and it sounds great, with Catherine Hahn, who everyone loves, and Paul Giamatti, and Molly Shannon, who I have such a crush on.
Molly Shannon is a delight.
She is, man. I want to get her on the show so bad.
She's just so like sunny and like and can play it super goofy, but is also, you know, stunning.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Just the ability to kind of, you know, fill both of those roles.
I love her. Always have had just the biggest crush on Molly Shannon. You know her backstory, man. Did you ever hear what happened to her when she was a kid?
No, I have not.
She was on Marc Maron, and her mother and I think sister were killed in a car wreck with her father driving, and I think he had been drinking, and like, it's brutal to hear her tell that story. Yeah, it's tough, man. You go through a tragedy like that. Oy vey. Jennifer Mudge says, Sofia Coppola, Stanley Kubrick, David Fincher, and Martin Scorsese, if The Irishman didn't exist. I'm with you, Mudge. You can park in my garage any day.
That's so funny that Casey Pegram, who is like such a particular boy when it comes to music, movies, just loves that one. And it's such a divisive. I didn't hate it, but I was with you. It was kind of like, it just felt like such a retread to me of like things like Casino and Goodfellas. But I don't know, maybe I really did just have a bad taste in my mouth because of that video game cutscene aspect to it. It just bugged me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Mike Binder is also parking in my garage because he says Alexander Payne, Batting 1,000, Sideways, Election, Nebraska, About Schmidt, Descendants. He didn't put Citizen Ruth on there. That's great. They're all great. I'm with you. He's my favorite, or one of my favorites. He's my top five, I think. Bill Horton says Taika Waititi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen all his movies, but I think they're all supposed to be pretty great.
He's just a magical creature. I adore him. He's got, have you seen Hunt for the Wilder People, Chuck?
I still haven't. It's been in my queue for like 2 years, and I don't know why I haven't seen it yet.
It's just lovely. I saw it when it came out in the theaters, and I think I saw it like twice in the theater. It's just one of these movies that's just very, very nice. It has conflict, but like, nothing horrible happens to anybody, and everyone kind of learns a lesson and ends up better at the end, but not in like a cloying, obnoxious way. And he's got another one. His first film is called, what's it called? It's called like Boy or something like that, or The Boy, that looks like has this very similar vibe. But I just adore him. And again, great example of an interesting, quirky, small director.
Yeah.
Going and being able to helm these massive Marvel movies, which is, you know, you can look at that as a good or a bad thing, because it does start to kind of take them away from doing their smaller, you know, more heartfelt things. But it's also nice to see these big movies with a little heart. Boy is what it's called, from 2010. And he also obviously directed a bunch of Flight of the Conchords, and he has a movie called Eagle versus Shark that's really cute with the Flight of the Conchords.
I love Eagle
versus
Shark.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. Let's finish up here with a couple more. TJ Danny says P.T. Anderson, his lesser movies are a far cry better than a lot of directors' best movies. Yeah, I mean, I would argue that he has no lesser movies, TJ. I love him. Even his supposedly worst movie that I covered recently with Adam. What's it called? Inherent Vice.
Yeah.
I still thought it was very interesting.
Well, I mean, people love that one, though. People do love that one. I had a hard time with it at the time. It wasn't the right movie for me at that moment, but I need to give it another shot, because I know people that I really respect who love it.
All right, let's just quickly do a few more of these. Eve Elizabeth Lee says, ain't never seen a shitty John Sayles movie. I would agree with that. John Sayles, classic. Joe Welsh says, Denis Villeneuve. Yeah, for sure. No stinkers yet.
No stinkers, and he's a good example of bouncing nicely between a small-ish movie and a massive movie, you know?
Robert Eggers is on the list. I know sure. It's early. That is David Barlow. I totally agree, though. Another vote for Yorgos Lanthimos from Christian Nelson Gonzalez. Jay Frazier says Robert Zemeckis. Oh, boy.
No
Jay.
Way. Oh, he's got some stinky boys.
Hard to disagree.
He's got some bad news bears in his catalog. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, the movie about the Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing the high wire walk was terrible. I think Polar Express is, I haven't seen it, but isn't that kind of generally...
polarizing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess some people think it's a classic. Some people say it's a stinker. Didn't he do some terrible Beowulf movie too?
That was all of his CGI ones are pretty divisive. But he also did one, if I'm not mistaken, that Welcome to Marwen, which is based on...
Oh, that's supposed to be terrible.
It's supposed to be unbearably bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, now I'm looking. I'm not sure that Robert Zemeckis has made more good movies than bad. Did he direct Romancing the Stone?
I don't know. Let's see.
Holy shit. Well, that's certainly in the good group. He did. Yeah, it's close, man. I bet it's 50-50. But hey, this is all in the opinion of the Crusher. So Jay Frazier loves him. So
he directed Death Becomes Her. I didn't know that. I really like Death Becomes Her, as cheesy as it was. And he did all three Back to the Futures. Didn't know that either.
Huh. Well, you know where I stand on those.
Romancing the Stone. He was a big force in the Tales from the Crypt series. He was an executive producer and directed three episodes. Oh, dude, I got to tell you, this is really funny. So Contact, the movie Contact, was the one mm-hmm. where Jodie Foster finds aliens by sending pings into outer space or whatever. There's an amazing part in that movie where she's got this rack of like equipment in this like lab that's uh-huh. supposed to look like, I guess, science-y type equipment. But it's all like kind of like prosumer audio equipment. It's the thing she's noodling with is like an effects processor, like delay and reverb and phaser and stuff like that.
That's
and she's literally
funny.
Turning this dial, trying to tune in the aliens. And it's like a Eventide Ultra Harmonizer is the name of the device.
You're like, well, that looks fancy.
Yep.
Oh, God bless them. Art department. They work pretty hard. Sometimes they don't quite nail it. All right, Noel, we're going to do our second and final segment here before stream this.
Great.
I borrowed this from Peach Pankhurst, one of the great old pals here.
One of the great names. I'm sorry, say that name again?
Peach Pankhurst.
Pankhurst, wow.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Love that.
Peach has been around for a while. She's wonderful. So I moved this one over to the regular Movie Crush page just to get a little bit more traction. Because I was short on time. Mm-hmm. But Peach asked, and this is a great question, who are some of your favorite movie parents?
Hmm.
Good one, huh?
Movie parents. Like favorite, just I mean, as in they were good parents or just interesting characters, perhaps?
I mean, either way, I think parents that you love, like, you know, Elliot's mom in E.T., like a beloved movie parent.
It's true.
Dee Wallace Stone.
I mean, I really love Catherine O'Hara in the Home Alone movies. I mean, mainly the first one, even though she's like obviously a negligent, derelict parent. I love the scene when she realizes that Kevin has been left behind. She just goes, "Kevin!" and then like passes out. You know, it's just a classic physical comedy moment.
I'm trying to imagine Home Alone now with Moira.
Oh my God. She's so great.
It turns out we've left her home alone.
We've left Kevin. He's home alone. What are we to do?
She does that thing where she emphasizes. If it's like a three-syllable word, she'll really emphasize and then stop on that first syllable. I can't even think of a fucking three-syllable word or three. I'm losing it, Noel.
I can't think of that exactly, but I love that she always says, "It's a bebe. A bebe."
Like she would say, "Rectify."
Rectify. Yeah, exactly. That's very good. Very good. Bebe. You know, I mean, I think you know this, but she, it was not written that way. I mean, she brought that to it entirely. Yeah.
Man, I'd love to get her on. What a legend.
Oh, fabulous.
I might try and do that. I've been getting some good gets lately. So
yeah, man.
I'm kind of trying again. You know, the rub is trying to get someone who can record themselves decently. But
totally.
Apparently, you can use the Zoom audio if they have nothing else. And
absolutely.
It works
yeah, good or just enough. Get them to wear earbuds or whatever. It totally works. Yeah.
All right. We're going to go with, this is so great. Phil Yates says Harold Ramis playing Seth Rogen's dad in Knocked Up is the kind of parent I would aspire to be. That was great. Remember that? Wasn't a big part at all, but he was such a great dad, and those scenes are wonderful.
Harold Ramis?
Yeah, remember he played the dad in Knocked Up, Seth Rogen's dad. They just have a few little scenes together, but they're really great.
That's right, yes, and he passed away not terribly, terribly long after that, I believe.
Oh, so sad.
He's fabulous.
Ethan Yavin 4, and boy, Ethan Yavin here, one of the crushers, I've said, you need to get that Yavin 4 license plate from Star Wars. And he did, Noel, and he put a picture of it up.
It's amazing. That's lovely.
So cool. He says Kevin Pollak and Jamie Lee Curtis from the masterful film House Arrest.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Alfie Brady says Bert Fisher from Rushmore. He may only be a brain surgeon, but he's all right with me. Yeah, boy, he was great. Sam, what's his face?
I'm not sure.
Rushmore, Max's dad?
Fisher.
Yeah, Bert Fisher. Sam, what's his last name?
I can't remember the actor. I just don't remember the actor.
People are yelling now. Got to look it up. I hate doing this, but...
No, it's okay. I'm with you. I'll see who gets it first. Sam Neill?
Yeah, Noel. Sam Neill was in Rushmore.
Who was in it? I don't know.
Not Sam Rockwell.
I'm looking for Sams in the cast list.
Seymour Cassell.
Seymour Cassell.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
Oh,
God. So many people are screaming at me. I'm so sorry, Sam. Good Lord. No wonder what wasn't coming up in my...
What an interesting face. He was also in The Life Aquatic. He was in Dick Tracy, briefly.
I mean, he's a legend. Boy, look at little Mason Gamble. He's all grown up now. That's so funny. Caroline Gaston, one of our old favorites, says Morticia and Gomez. Sure. John Query says Bill Murray and Fran McDormand in Moonrise Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Does it concern you that your daughter ran away? That's a loaded question. Great line. Let me see. Joshua Hall says Seok Woo in Train to Busan. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Great, great movie. I would add the parents... you know, again, not maybe because they were great people, but the parents in Parasite are very, you know, they're trying to survive. They ultimately love their kids. They're doing the best they can, but they're also kind of garbage people, but very complex.
I want to see that again.
It's so good.
Yeah, I got to see that again.
I've probably seen it 5 times. I just love
amazing.
It.
Amazing. TJ Danny says Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson in Easy A. Yeah, they were a lot of fun. Weston Holston says the Griswolds. But for TV, Sam's parents and Freaks and Geeks are my all-time favorite fictional parents.
They're fun. Yeah. Oh, what about the parents in that 70s show? They're great. I love the mom.
Kitty
and Red. Red?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. They were fun. I really loved that show. I was a big, big fan. Oh, boy. This one's so great. Ian Tyson says, Harry Dean Stanton is Andy's dad in Pretty in Pink.
Mm.
So good. He was amazing. I think Freaks and Geeks is streaming now on something. Hulu or Netflix.
What a crop of talented young folks that went on to do huge stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that twice all the way through. I think it's a third time might happen soon.
It's very good.
Stellan Carlson, one of our oldest friends. Loving that blue hair, Stellan. The parents from My Neighbor Totoro, because they seem like nice people.
They are. A lot of good... Well, the parents in Spirited Away are very derelict and awful. And negligent, but you're right. Yeah, the parents and My Neighbor Totoro are lovely.
I bought that Noel like 5 months ago, and we still haven't watched it.
Oh, watch it with the kid. It's lovely. It's
well, beautiful. We have movie night tomorrow night, so we were gonna watch Aladdin because she's never seen that. But I keep kicking Totoro down the road.
Well, also all of the Studio Ghibli films are on HBO Max now as well.
So oh, really?
There's other really good ones. Spirited Away is great.
Mm-hmm.
My Neighbor Totoro is probably the most like one of the more kid friendly ones.
Yeah.
But I think she'd like Spirited Away. It's a lot of fun. Also, Howl's Moving Castle, Castle in the Sky. They're all lovely. They're all lovely movies.
Gotta get Ghibli with it.
Get Ghibli with it, Chuck.
Christopher Steiner, totally agree here. Says Shazam, Billy's foster parents were awesome. That is such a sweet, heartwarming movie. Yeah. Made Emily watch that. She normally might not be into it. She really loved it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Oh, Alan Alda and Carol Burnett in The Four Seasons. That's from Laurie Sutton. I was in college at the time and so badly wanted them to be my parents visiting campus for the weekend. Yeah, for sure. Someone on the Crushers page on the original post mentioned the parents in A Christmas Story, especially the mom. She was so great and wonderful.
Agreed.
Mike Sam says the parents from Love, Simon. If only every set of parents was that understanding. Did I see that movie?
I'm not familiar.
I think I have. I'm pretty sure I have. I know it, and it looks familiar. So I'm going to go with yes. Let me see here. Oh, Ian Tyson again. Paul Dooley is Jim Baker in 16 Candles. He comes through for Samantha in the end. Yeah, he was a pretty sweet dad. Those Ferris Bueller, the John Hughes movies had some pretty great parents, including the parents in Ferris Bueller. I always love Ferris's dad in that movie. He's just so chill. Dan Maynard says George and Lorraine McFly.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's important, you know, in those types of movies for the parents not to be, that's one thing that sets them apart from just like, you know, really cliche, kind of like one-dimensional family type, you know, 80s movies or whatever. It's just like there should be dimension to the parents. They have like a life as well, and that should be seen as, that should be portrayed, you know, accurately, at least to some degree. Like, okay, great example, not a great movie, but I think a lot of people do have a fondness for this. It's like American Pie. You know, Eugene Levy, like he sees his son, like, you know, having sex with a pie and has to have this awkward moment with his son,
right,
which is a thing that parents a lot of times have to do. Maybe not. It's such an extreme example, but, you know, parents are often like portrayed as super one dimensional or like they don't have any inner life of their own. And I think movies that give them that rise to the next level.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sophia Fernandez says Steve Martin in Parenthood. And I'm going to personally throw Mary Steenburgen in there, too. She said he seems like a real depiction of a real dad, flaws and all. Yeah, totally. Rachel Stone says, Elio's parents and Call Me By Your Name speech by the dad at the end is gold. Totally, Rachel. Wonderful. Wonderful movie. And let's finish off with, let me see here. Boy, Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson and Easy A are getting a lot of love there. And I agree. That's a good movie. Man, so many people said that. They were the best. They were the best parents. All right, let's finish up with Jay Frazier here. Says, Father of the Bride, Diane Keaton and Steve Martin. Yeah, they're pretty great. What a great pairing. I love it. All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with, and thanks, Peach, for that. Dare I say, you are a peach.
You dared.
We're going to finish up here with Stream This. And Noel, I've seen a couple of movies lately. We're still barreling through Schitt's Creek season 5 now. But I failed to mention a few weeks ago when we got back in the saddle that I did watch Wonder Woman 84. Did
Ooh,
you?
That was not good.
I liked it.
I did not like it.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought, I don't know, I didn't put too much stock in it.
That's
to like,
fair.
To be the end-all, be-all, and I thought it wasn't great, but I liked it fine. I enjoyed it.
I just thought the villain was so corny and like just... He wasn't good at being a villain. He kept making horrible decisions and using this power that he had like in the most harebrained way. And then at the end, like it just, the way he did his big villain moment just made no sense. And it just, it fell apart for me. And just, I just kind of kept being like, really? You're going there? And it was so like over the top, the acting. And I love that actor, Pedro. What's his name?
Yeah. Mando.
Yeah. He's great. But, I was not a fan.
See, I kind of liked him, actually, and I thought he played that role perfectly for what he was. Not a great movie, but I enjoyed it fine. There were enough good moments in it. If I pick it apart, it falls apart a bit, but I'm going to defend it a little bit from the people who thought it was a piece of garbage. But hey. Sounds like you're one of those people, Noel.
I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a piece of garbage. I just did.
Disappointing.
Again, it was disappointing, and I didn't really have a huge expectations, and except that Wonder Woman was the first DC movie in a minute that like was actually fun and not just brooding and depressing and
yeah, the original,
like, you know, bleak.
Yeah.
This one tried to capitalize on that and make it fun and over the top in that same way. It just didn't quite hit the mark for me.
Yeah,
but
it had enough moments in it, mm-hmm. I think, that redeemed it a bit for me.
Got it.
And then we watched a great movie, one of the best movies I've seen in a while, called Promising Young Woman.
Mm.
No spoilers, but it is the directorial debut of writer-director Emerald Fennell, or Fennell, I'm not sure how she pronounces it. Amazing debut film. I believe she created and was the showrunner for... what's the show? Killing Eve, which I have not seen, but it's supposed to be very
beloved
good.
Show.
Yeah. Promising Young Woman is awesome. It was stylish and clever and had a great ending and twists and turns, and it was tense and taut and current, and just, I loved everything about it. It was awesome. Highest rating.
Interesting that you say that, and I've heard the same thing, and it's got nothing but glowing reviews. My lady friend and two of her girlfriends had like a, you know, kind of a visit, and they watched that, and they actually did the whole spend $20, you know, to get the current movie streaming, and they loved it up until whatever the third act twist is, and then they hated it vehemently.
Really?
With a passion.
Wow.
And said they thought it was like anti-feminist, and that it was like,
what?
And I think, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just reporting what I heard. I haven't seen it, and I really want to see it. But they all three apparently were in agreement that it was that they hated the way it went. Like they almost said they felt like it was passed off to a different director all of a sudden,
really,
and like totally out of character for where the movie was going. But I can't speak to that. I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was interesting how much they disliked the ending.
Hard disagree. I loved the ending. Emily
cool.
and I both did.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, great movie. What have you been watching?
I really, really like this new Marvel thing, WandaVision, on Disney Plus.
I haven't seen episode 3 yet.
It's episode 3 is when you start to get a little more cracks in the facade of what's actually going on. I like it purely for what it is. Like I think it does such a good job of mimicking the writing and the style and the set deck of, you know, things like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie and all that. And
yeah.
Then the third one is like a Brady Bunch kind of 60s thing. At first I'm like, it's a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm like, are you guys going to just keep this up? Or like, is there going to be like, something's going to break this veil of what's going on, and there's going to be like a real conflict. And I think we're starting to see that happen. I would agree with some of the criticism that maybe it's packing not a whole lot of plot into a pretty big bucket, you know?
Okay.
But I very much enjoy it and looking forward to the next one.
Well, I can't wait to see the third one. I'm on it. And I think that's it for today, if that's all you got.
That's all I got, man.
All right. Well, thank you, my friend.
You too.
And thank you for listening in Movie Crush Land out there in Podcastville. Population, I don't know.
Us and you.
How many people listen to
this? It's a very intimate medium.
I haven't looked at our numbers in a while. 50,000 people?
Something like that, yeah. I'll take it.
All right, we'll see you all next week.
Woo-hoo. Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.